Thank you, Brother Bruce. That affection is mutual. I really appreciate the opportunity to come before you all today, and I welcome you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of my sermon this morning is Prepare Quickly. And that title was inspired by a dream that our sister Betsy Trujan had prior to the, well, actually prior to the vacation church school. And she felt to share that dream in a prayer service during vacation church school. And so I'm going to share that dream with you today. Leading up to the Michigan reunion, I had been fasting and praying. I was hoping the Lord would speak to us. About a week after the reunion, I was given a dream. I was still fasting as I was getting ready for vacation church school. I have been wondering for a long time when the Lord would tell us when it was time to prepare. I've always felt a desire to feed everyone, both physically and through sharing testimonies. I have always felt our home would be a safe haven for those seeking the true gospel. Another of the things I had been doing was storing food. In my dream, I knew it was time. It was dark, but it was still light. I saw many people going toward a building to gather food. They came from all over. I didn't know anyone. When I got there, I realized it was my food storage. Everyone had come inside, and I began to look for food for my loved ones. No one was panicking. They were calm. I realized I didn't have anything for a meal. I could find things that helped a meal, like pickles and ketchup, but it wouldn't feed them. When I saw the milk, I thought, yes, finally, something substantial. And then I realized it was expired. When I awoke, I began thinking about the dream. As for my real food storage, it was true. I have holes in my storage. I decided I needed to pray and ask the Lord if the dream was from Him. The Spirit became very strong all over. I wasn't sure of the interpretation, so I decided I should share it in Missouri at the prayer service. Charity Berwick stood after me and gave an interpretation, which I believe is accurate. Here is the interpretation given through Sister Charity Berwick. You need to be preparing spiritually for the people who will come into your life. You will be responsible for them. There were at least three people following Sister Charity Berwick that testified that this dream referred to spiritual preparation. I myself was convinced of my own need for spiritual preparation. After reading the dream again, I have serious concerns about my own and possibly your preparedness to do the work that God has planned for us in the near future. Here are some significant portions of Sister Betsy's dream. It was dark, but it was still light. Indicates the lateness of the hour or period of time, the last days, or possibly the last time. Jacob chapter 3, verse 126 says, "Wherefore let us go to and labor with our mights this last time. For behold, the end draweth nigh, and this is the last time that I shall prune my vineyard." Here's another piece of the dream. I saw many people going toward a building to gather food. They came from all over. I didn't know anyone. While these people weren't known to Sister Betsy, they knew where to go to get the food. God is currently guiding people to the Church of Christ from different places in the world. But in this dream, there were many people from all over. It appears that some event may have occurred to cause many people from all over to seek the truth all at once. Another portion. When I got there, I realized it was my food storage. She recognized her responsibility for the preparation of the food that was needed by the many that were searching for it. Each member of the body of Christ has the responsibility to prepare ourselves that we might provide for the spiritual needs of those who we come in contact with, that if they are searching, the truth may be found in us. Another portion. I realized I didn't have anything for a meal. I couldn't find things that helped a meal, like pickles and ketchup, but it wouldn't feed them. When I saw the milk, I thought, yes, finally, something substantial. And then I realized it was expired. While God had led these people to the right place to look for food, the meal was incomplete and decaying. I fear this is referring to how God sees us individually. We are not prepared to do the work that He has for us shortly in the future. We must prepare quickly. Alma 3 provides a wonderful example of a sermon preached to a people who'd been lifted up in pride. Our brother Martin read this morning in chapter 1. He read verses 28 through 39, but in that reading, it said pride entered in. This is just prior to what I'm going to read from, the sermon that was given by Alma to them. It said pride had entered in, and their hearts were hardened. And I fear that's where we find ourselves. And possibly because of our surroundings. You know, I was thinking, I was watching the news about the Democratic Convention this week, and it talked about these new all-gender bathrooms that they had at the convention. And there was a man being interviewed from France, and he was asked, can you see this happening in France? And he said, no, because we're too conservative. And I thought, wow. You know, because we used to look at France as being more evil, I'm going to say, than we are in the States. And now we've surpassed them. And I think with those, the temptations that surround us of pride, of temptations of all kind, that we may have allowed that to enter into our body. Our brother Leslie asked us to pray for the Church of Christ because we're in need. And I see that. I see that within myself. I'm in need. I see those holes that our sister Betsy referred to in my life. And I need to prepare. We need to prepare. So Alma preached to the church in Zarahemla, and I'm going to begin in chapter 3, verse 1. Now it came to pass that Alma began to deliver the word of God unto the people, first in the land of Zarahemla, and from thence throughout all the land. And these are the words which he spake to the people in the church, which was established in the city of Zarahemla, according to his own record, saying, I, Alma, have been consecrated by my father Alma to be a high priest over the church of God. He having power and authority from God to do these things, behold, I say unto you that he began to establish a church in the land which was in the borders of Nephi, yea, the land which was called the land of Mormon. Yea, and he did baptize his brethren in the waters of Mormon. And behold, I say unto you, they were delivered out of the hands of the people of King Noah by the mercy and power of God. And behold, after that, they were brought into bondage by the hands of the Lamanites into the wilderness. Yea, I say unto you, they were in captivity, and again the Lord did deliver them out of bondage by the power of his word. And we were brought into this land, and here we began to establish the church of God throughout this land also. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance the captivity of your fathers? You see, their fathers lived in a land where they were taught evil, as evil is taught today. Their priests, the priests of King Noah, taught evil doctrines. And Abinadi came and he prophesied and he spoke truth. And they believed it. Alma believed it. And those who went out into the wilderness with him, they believed it. And they had these afflictions where then they were taken captive by the Lamanites and freed again. And they testified of the power of God in their lives. And Alma is saying here, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance the captivity of your fathers? Our fathers fled oppression and came to this land by the power of God, and God built up a society because they were humble and they believed in him. And then God established his church among this nation. And he's preserved it by his power. Have we sufficiently retained in remembrance the afflictions of our forefathers and their faith? Yea, have you sufficiently retained in remembrance his mercy and long-suffering towards them? And moreover, have ye sufficiently retained in remembrance that he has delivered their souls from hell? They were raised in a society where God wasn't taught until Abinadi came. And God illuminated their minds and brought them out of that and delivered their souls from hell. Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they awoke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. And that's what the word does to it when we feast on it, when we take time out and ask God to reveal his word to us and we read it, or when we ask him to speak to us and he does. He illuminates our souls with the light of his everlasting word. Yea, they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell, and an everlasting destruction did await them. And now I ask of you, my brethren, were they destroyed? Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken and the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosed? I say unto you, yea, they were loosed, and their souls did expand, and they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you that they are saved. And now I ask of you, on what conditions are they saved? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? What is the cause of their being loosed from the bands of death? Yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? It's the word of God that prepares us. Just as it did Alma, and he believed the words that God gave to Abinadi. Verse 22, did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. That change of repentance, when we turn from our ways and we believe in the word of God and we turn to it and intentionally follow it, do it. There was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful until the end. Therefore, they were saved. So how do we prepare for the hope of salvation? That hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We listen to, we feast upon the word of God. We believe on God's word. Allow it to have its effect in our heart. Allow it to be planted there. Think on it. And let it have nourishment by our thoughts and our consideration of it, our prayer. We repent. We allow that word to effect a mighty change in our hearts. We're baptized. We humble ourselves. We put our trust in God. And we are faithful until the end of our lives. We're full of faith. We're faithful. We're full of faith in our God that he is able to perform in us that which we feel we can't. All of that was listed previously in what we just read. And next, what I'm going to read, I'm going to continue in that chapter, is an evaluation of your and my preparedness. Are we prepared to meet God? Are we prepared to perform the work that he has planned for us in the near future? I keep saying in the near future because I have this overwhelming feeling that there is an event that will occur. Based on this dream and other witnesses. Evaluation of preparedness. Make a photocopy. I'm going to ask you to do some homework when you get home. Make a photocopy of pages 315 through 317 in your Book of Mormon. That's Alma chapter 3, verses 27 through 54. And in these verses are a bunch of questions about our preparedness. What I want you to do is when you've made a photocopy of it, after each question, answer it personally. Yes or no, or sometimes, to identify the holes in your preparedness. Where are you lacking? And then, if you answer no, or possibly even yes, or sometimes, provide explanations for your answers. Why are you prepared in that way, or why are you not? Why are you sometimes prepared in that way? And you'll understand my reasoning as we go through these questions. Beginning in verse 27. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? And I have to say, I can answer all of, I can answer all of those. Yes, this has happened in my life. But now it says, do ye. So this is current. Verse 30, do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? I have to answer this sometimes. And I have to ask myself, why? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? Rarely. I rarely think about this. I rarely, from day to day, look ahead to that day that I'm going to be judged by God. I have to admit, I have to confess, I rarely do this. But this question here is one of the the foundation of this whole piece, this whole evaluation. If we would look forward to that day often, don't you think our choices would be different? If we think about our judgment before God and that day where we face him face to face and give account of what we've chosen in this life, don't you think our choices might be different? Verse 32, I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me and be blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Or do ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you? Or otherwise, can ye imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt? Yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness. Yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance. You've been against, you've fought against the commandments of God. And that's what we do when we choose to disobey, when we choose something other than God's commandments, than pleasing him. I say unto you, can ye look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can you look up, having the image of God engraven upon your countenances? Yes? No? Sometimes? I say unto you, can ye think of being saved when you have yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil? When you've decided not to resist temptation and you've allowed it to take you to sin and you've yielded yourselves to become subjects to the devil. I say unto you, ye will know at that day that ye cannot be saved. For there can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain, from every sin, through the blood of him of whom it has been spoken by our fathers, who should come to redeem his people from their sins. And now I ask of you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if ye shall stand before the bar of God, having your garments stained with blood and all manner of filthiness? Behold, what will these things testify against you? How will you feel, knowing that you've let Christ die on the cross in vain? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderers? Yea, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness? Behold, my brethren, do ye suppose that such an one can have a place to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and also all the holy prophets whose garments are cleansed and spotless, pure and white? I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that he is a liar from the beginning, ye cannot suppose that such an one can have place in the kingdom of heaven. But they shall be cast out, for they are the children of the kingdom of the devil. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and I believe I'm speaking to most people in this room that have, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, and as I read that, I'm reminded of our sister's poems that she's been given, that are poems of redeeming love. She has felt to sing the song of redeeming love. It says, I would ask, can you feel so now? And I see smiles out there of people that feel so now. Praise God. Have ye walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could ye say, if you were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? Remember, it was pride that had entered into their hearts. And I think it's pride that affects us so often. Behold, are ye stripped of pride? Do ye find yourselves better than others? Our brother, when he was reading this morning in the prayer service, read about the ministry that were no better than the hearers. And that's the attitude that we need to have, that we're no better than those out there who have never heard of Christ or who don't know. There's a lot of people who've heard of him but don't really have an understanding of him, that haven't read his word, that we have an opportunity to testify to. Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. Behold, ye must prepare quickly. That's where I got the title of the sermon, Prepare Quickly. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say unto you, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? Do you wish you had the things of others, what they own? Do you wish you had the characteristics or the praise that of others that other people have? Do you wish you had the social standing or the job or the relationship that others have? That's taking your focus off what God has for you, the plan that he has for you, what he's going to do in your life because of the situations, the relationships, the trials that you've gone through. He has a plan for that. Behold, I say unto you, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such an one is not prepared. And I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such a one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Do you persecute a brother or a sister? Do you mock them? Do you talk behind their backs? And remember that a spouse, a child, a parent is also a brother and sister. Do you mock them? Do you heap persecutions upon them? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared. And the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Be intentional about preparation, about repentance. After identifying those holes as you've gone through, as you make that photocopy when you're doing this homework assignment, and you've said yes, no, maybe, and you have provided an explanation for yourself to go through, this is an exercise to be able to find those holes, those areas where you're not prepared, and to be able to make an intentional effort to work on them. After identifying the holes in your preparation for salvation and understanding the reasons for the holes, make an intentional effort to change your heart, providing for the truth of God's word as it relates to your holes. In other words, allow the effect of God's word to cause you to repent and desire something new, and make an intentional effort to make those changes, to repent. There was a sermon preached it was actually last Sunday night, by our brother Donnie Case, wherein he listed some aspects of repentance. And I'd like to read those because I think they apply here and here. He had previously read scripture to base this summary on. Number one, recognize that the cost of sin is always death. For all repentant believers in Jesus Christ, it is Christ's death. For all others, it is their own spiritual death. So we need to recognize that the cost of sin is death. Christ paid a price for our sin. There is value in repentance. Two, confession includes identifying the wrong concept or attitude about God, our theology, our belief, our lack of belief in Him that has caused us to sin. So confession includes identifying, figuring out the wrong attitude that we have about God, the unbelief that led to the sin. Three, there are consequences to all sin, some due to the nature of the sin and other set by God for specific sinners. Repentance accepts responsibility for all consequences. Four, our sin gives occasion for others to blaspheme God. We can tempt others. Repentance takes responsibility for the harm we've done to the kingdom of God, as well as to the other soul's welfare. So we must make an effort towards them, those we've affected in our repentance. Five, make restitution where possible in both the physical and spiritual realm. Six, repentance desires God's will in my life, both blessing and cursing. Whatever God's will is, as a result of my sin and repentance, may it be done. It's accepting of God, of the consequences, the blessings of God, and also the cursings, or in other words, the consequences to our sins. Seven, repentance allows us to learn from all hardship and chastisement to draw us closer to God. Eight, repentance causes us to sacrifice the only thing we have to offer. Our heart and spirit must be broken. Verse 56 of chapter 3, yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. That's a promise. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. I think of that food storage being full and complete, and the food fresh from Betsy's dream. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same hath cause to wail and mourn. This reunion is our opportunity to prepare. prepare quickly. Thank you.